Good morning and welcome to our messy communion.
Thank you for coming. Lovely to see you here. It's unusual. It's not how we usually do things, but you will find that it's a recognisable communion service. So if at the moment you've got that inner thing saying, what's going on? I don't like it. Hang in there. You'll recognise it all. And I hope you'll enjoy it. We'll have a different way of approaching our penitence and our prayers. Join up with our very traditional communion part of the service later. So let's begin.
Now, we come to a point in our service where we have our reading. You have the reading on the pew sheets, but I think we're going to do something a little bit more now.
Who wants to be Israelite through the desert? Kids, do you want to come and be Israelite in the desert with me? Come on, George. Hello, George. Nice to see you. Maddie, Lisa, you'd come too as well. And there were older people in the desert too. So should we go off and I'm going to tell you this, because we need some older people just to fill in a bit of the reading as we go as well.
So, all right, guys, come on in. We are Israelites travelling in the desert, okay? Why are we in the desert?
Why are we in the desert?
We've escaped from Egypt.
We escaped from Egypt. What was happening to us in Egypt?
We were slaves.
We were slaves in Egypt. That was awful.
Right, we're in the desert. And who helped us to escape from Egypt?
Who helped us to escape?
Moses. Top answer for joy. And who made it possible for Moses to help us to escape? Who did all the hard work?
God.
God did. That's right. So here we are. We're in the desert. Moses has had God sorting us out for us to escape. What's it like in the desert? Does anyone know what it's like in the desert?
Lizzie, what's it like in the desert?
Dry. There are snakes and scorpions,
and
no food or water.
Oh my goodness, this is even more terrifying than I thought. Okay, so we're here in the desert. Well, do we know where we're going? I mean, I'm leading us. Do I know where we're going? What a clue. Okay, so we don't know where we're going. Do we know when we'll get there? No, what a clue. So we're in the desert, it's dry and dusty and horrible. And is anyone hungry?
I'm hungry.
Our food has run out. So how are we feeling in the desert? Are we hungry?
We're really fed up.
We're really fed up. Right, we're keeping on through the desert and it's a terrible trial. Now, Moses had had instructions from God. And someone is going to read for me, Joan, verses 11 and 12.
The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.
Very good. Does anyone know what type of fancy, what type of meat it was we were going to eat in the desert? Was it chicken?
Cookies.
Was it meat? And the meat was quails, which are like little birds. Okay, they are little birds. Okay. So, and then there was going to be bread as well. So God's going to look after us. He set us free from being slaves. He promises us food. Okay. We haven't got the food yet. Are we going to trust God? Or do we remember that he has freed us from slavery in Egypt first? He promised to free us and he did. Okay? Alright, so, Alistair, why don't you read 13b and 14 from In the Morning?
In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor.
Thank you.
Right, so let's go and see if we can find some manna. I've taken a long turn here, so we'll go back and find our manna. So, we've got thin flakes, we've got dew.
Yeah, do you want to hold some as well? We've got something this area, we've collected it.
Shall we just take lots and lots? Is that what our instructions are? And then we have enough for months and months, wouldn't we just go out collecting tomorrow? Can anyone tell me what God said we have to do? Right, Randy's found it.
Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.
Okay, so we
take just as much as we need, and we take enough for all the people in our tent. Okay, and we go out collecting it every day. What do? We collect it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do we collect it on Saturday? We don't collect it on Saturdays because that's the Sabbath. And God says, don't collect it on the Sabbath. We're not to work on the Sabbath. Let's give out some to the people who live in our tent, shall we? See if Lizzie, who lives in our tent, would like some. Now, it's meant to taste like honey, but these are prawn peppers. It's the best. So, okay. So we don't collect it
but we kept it on each day, and we don't gather lots, we just gather what we need for those in our tent, so we have fair shares, and we're not to work on the Sabbath. On Friday we kept double. Has anyone to tell me what happens if we kept too much? What happens, George?
Do you gather fat?
Yes. But there's something else specific that happens. Someone see. So I think that's some of us.
It's full of maggots.
Full of maggots. Mouldy and full of maggots. There's no point in collecting more than we need. Right, okay. Thanks, guys. Sit down for like that. Now, very briefly on that reading, just a bit more that we can all get out of it. Alex, thank you, Israelites, for being in the desert with me. The background, as I said, was a great act of God's grace. That's a decision by God to do something as an act of his sovereign power that's undeserved by those receiving it. So he decided he was going to take this people out of slavery, bring them into freedom. And the act of grace was decided that these people were going to be his special people. That's his purpose for them. And he led them. By day he led them by a pillar of fire, and by day by a cloud, and by night by a pillar of fire. And as we've seen, he provided prawn crackers for them, manna in the desert, and bread. Now, the people of Israel were already his chosen people. They didn't have to do anything to find his favour. They were his chosen people. He brought them out of slavery. But he gives his people instructions for their good. It's not a question of earning God's favour. He says, this is how I want you to live. He does that principally at Sinai, but he also does it here in a small way, saying, I want you to rest on the Sabbath. You know, rest, take a day of rest. Collect what you need on the other days. So he gives them instructions, and we see God providing for his people at the same time teaching them. He says, I'm going to give you food, collect what you need, don't collect more than you need, I'll keep on providing. And when they disobey, when they've collected more than they need, it all goes bad. It goes mouldy and maggoty. This, I take it to be a historical event. That's my belief position. Okay? You may agree with that, you may not. I take it to be a historical event. But even if you don't, it still acts as a sort of parable, a metaphor for life. It works on both levels. It's meant to work on both levels, I believe. So when we take more than we need, in our world, in our personal lives, in our job, wherever it may be, we'll take more than we need, it ends up mounding with maggots. We know that that's how life works. We may not get the maggots, some other poor so-and-so might. But it's a little parable now. God says, take what you need for today. And he tells us to rest on one day of the week. Why? Because that's the pattern he set for us. Keep the Sabbath holy, he said, labour on 6 days, and do all you have to do. Take more days rest, labour on 6 days, and do all you have to do, and then rest on the seventh day. That's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Do no manner of work in it. My goodness, I'm a hypocrite. I try, but I get it wrong. We all get it wrong. Okay? We just have to try and keep that Sabbath holy. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. So we're going to rest on the seventh day to honour God. For the Israelites, that meant not going out to collect bread. God would still provide, even though they rested, because this manna, they collected too much on the Thursday, then it became mouldy on the Friday. On the Friday, they collected double, and it didn't go mouldy on the Saturday. It's God's miraculous provision. Something different about the manna on a Friday to the manna on a Thursday. That's God's marvellous and perfect provision. Having what they needed, therefore, did not depend on their effort. They just collected a little bit more on the Friday, and the Saturday they were fine. To be fine on the Saturday, they didn't need to make more effort. Just kept a little bit more, and it was fine. But they weren't fine because of their effort. They were fine because they trusted in God and in his provision for them. Now, there are certain responses that we might make to this. We can say thank you to God for his provision for us, because he does provide for us, and all of us who manage, however imperfectly, to trust in God, know that he does provide for us. We can say thank you. We can say sorry when we mess up, because we will mess up. all we get is where we preach too much, or when we work on the Sabbath, or whatever it may be. And we can say, please, not grumbling like the Israelites, but please, please, Lord, this is what we need. We need some bread. We need provision this day. We need to have stuff so that we can help others. I'll come back to those responses in a moment. They're very basic responses. Sorry, thank you, please. It'll come out of this particular biblical episode. It's not just about bread and rest. It's about something much more profound in our lives. Go back to the start of our reading, verse 12. God says, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to send you meat and I'm going to send you bread. Why? Because then you will know that I am the Lord your God. It's not even just about providing for his chosen people. It's this, then you will know that I am the Lord your God. There's something about trusting in God and relying on his provision that leads us to understand that he is in fact the Lord our God. And then at the end of the reading, verse 35, it says they ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan, which was the promised land. For all that time, 40 years in the desert, God provided for them. So part of what is going on here, beyond the providing, is knowing and remembering. God's provision for us helps us to know and remember who he is and who we are in relation to him. He is our God. He is our God, the Lord our God. And remembering that is really important because we too are on the journey to our promised land. That's partly what our communion is about, which we'll come to later in the service. It's about remembering what Jesus has done for us, knowing that he is God the Son, and keeping his memory alive until he returns. So the OT is not the Old Testament. It's not just a bunch of stories that happened a long time ago. It's events in history that lead us up to where we are now, help us to understand Jesus in his context, and helps us to understand our own place in the history that God sets for us. We are a people of God, chosen and freed by him, just as the Israelites were, trying to live in the way he wants and looking forward to the time when we reach the promised land when Jesus comes again. Okay, that's our reading. We're going to go on to our activities which will prepare us for communion when we come to remember and look forward.